I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone.
You already know what it is. It's one of your favorite degenerates back with another day one Dolphins episode. Didn't force Big Ouch Man to get up at 7:17 a.m. to come record this with me. So at 10:17, we're coming live and direct from Pinellas Park. It's Young Sut, a.k.a. Coach Sut, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Play, a.k.a. We Start Nico Collins every week. But we're not here to talk about Nico Collins. We're here to talk about Mr. Unlimited and Oos and a few other storylines. But I will shout out Ouch real quick. He was basically spot on with his solo episode last week. So it's kind of put a little pressure on me to do my homework and really bring it with this one. His score prediction was pretty on point. His defensive calls were pretty on point. So we're an accurate bunch out here. We're not just talking out of our rear ends, so to speak. But I'm going to just get right after it. There's quite a few storylines in this one, so I'm going to kind of fly through the storylines and then kind of give both teams a quick synopsis and get y'all out of here and get you hyped up so you can watch the Hollins game on stream tonight at 7:30 versus Seminole. We got a Butch Berry revenge game. I think it goes without saying that pretty much all of us as Dolphins fans are pretty freaked out about our offensive line going into the season. And if you want to take it a step further, a lot of us really didn't like the hiring of Butch Berry to help with the offensive line and retool it and get it fixed. I personally was freaking out because a couple of people were sending me reports about how everyone at his old team hated him and everything was so terrible. But McDaniel brought it up in an interview this week in his regular press conferences that he worked with Butch in San Francisco. And it was one of those years that was starting off kind of iffy. And, you know, then everything kind of just clicked. Next thing you know, they're in the NFC Championship game. And he believes that Butch was a major part of that. And, you know, he had the ability to get the guys to buy in. It took Butch a half a season to get them to buy in that time around. And it kind of looks like our offensive line is bought in now. So I'm not trying to compare that team to this team or nothing like that. But the Broncos let Butch Berry go. They hated on him on the way out. Same way a lot of people get hated on their way out. But he got racked. Talking about, oh, none of the players liked him. They didn't like how he coached. They didn't like his philosophies. And that's pretty cold. So I'm glad our players like him. You also got another revenge game for Vic Fangio. He built that entire defense for him. He set them up for success. And then, you know, it is what it is. It's a business. But hey, business is business. We'll see y'all boys this week. I feel like Fangio is going to have a couple extra funky ones dialed up for Mr. Unlimited and the boys. So this is going to be fun to watch. Also fun to note, when AVG, Andrew Van Ginkle, for those that aren't familiar with shorthand, he was the blonde guy making all those plays that's been making all those plays for the last couple of years. And when he was about to walk on free agency, Fangio reached out to him personally as to say, hey, man, we could really use you out here. And I think he's one of the low key chess pieces that people aren't really paying attention to, similar to Sean Elliott, similar to Javon Holland. But we were talking in all of our offseason episodes and since last year that Javon is going to be just key to anything we do moving forward in the future. And I think Fangio is a little bit smarter than me and has that drawn up to perfection. Another thing he has drawn up to perfection is Nick Chubb in the fourth quarter. This is a Nick Chubb revenge game. Obviously, we picked him up from Denver last year in season. I think it's really cool that every fourth quarter when we get on these last drives, we say, this defense better do something. And then here comes Nick Chubb. He really does turn it on when we need it. And I feel like with him getting to play his own team, he's going to have it on from start to finish. This isn't a guy that really needs to be pushed. We kind of pushed him after week one, wanting a little bit more. And he gave a little bit more last week. So if he has more to give, we will take it all day long. Very small nugget. This is actually Mike McDaniel's childhood team. And I believe he was their ball boy. I think I saw like pictures in those old videos when he had the double earrings, just still him. He was one of their ball boys under, I want to say it was through the Shanahans, but that's when Ed McCaffrey was there. And there was also like a little Christian McCaffrey connection there, but a little connection between the 7-7-2 poise in this game. Justin Simmons, this is a homecoming for him. He's from the Port St. Lucie area, married a girl that went to PSL high school. This is a home game for him, and I really hope he gets to play. I checked the injury report, and as of this recording, the Friday report isn't out, but Simmons hasn't practiced the last 2 days with his hip. Just as a fan of him and as a fan of football, I would prefer if they had him. They could really use him to stop Tyreek Hill. Even though there's probably not going to be any Waddle this week, Hill is still a problem. And as we know, we have other guys there that can get stuff done. So Hill on his own is not someone that you're going to be able to just, I guess, hold with backups and PS2. PS2 versus Hill is going to be a great matchup, because if he can hold Tyreek one-on-one, he's the best corner in the league. And yeah, but I just personally wouldn't ask anybody to do that. A corner is hard enough. You want me to guard this little muscle hamster that runs Olympic speed? Like, nah, that's a lot. Anybody could use some help. So with Justin Simmons coming home, I think it'd be cool if he got to assist in trying to stop the cheetah, who's also a lion, in case you haven't heard. And then this one, I mean, you're not really going to see them go head to head, but Jerry Jeudy, Tua, Waddle, Raekwon, all of them played together at Alabama. So this is kind of a Jeudy versus Tua and Waddle revenge game. The only ones that are guaranteed to play are Jeudy and Tua, because Raekwon's also on the injury report. And we can all just assume that Waddle's not going to play. And it's more than okay. We don't need him to. Chill out. You're the Buffalo Slayer. So we'll get you back next week fully rocking, fully ready to go. We don't got to worry about it. But those are the major, major storylines. I could spend this whole time just kind of trashing the Broncos, because it's easy and that's what the entire media is doing. And you're kind of seeing everybody just say, oh, Dolphins easy win, Dolphins easy win. This is a no brainer auto pick. Those are the kind of games to me that you need to watch, because it's not necessarily a trap game. But those players and those coaches, all of them hear it the same way. And that's motivation for them. And they are grown men that are paid to basically be gladiators, and you're not just going to talk crap about them all week and make it seem like they just have no chance and they're just going to come out and what, just fold? Like, no. Broncos are definitely going to bring it. I do think it's going to be closer than most people expect. I see a lot of people taking these crazy bets on it. The spread right now on PFF is only Miami -6.5. And that's at home. So I'm not the craziest gambler. I'm starting to get a little bit better at it. But I believe you get -3 just for being the home team. So we're barely even a touchdown favorite. And people think this is going to be some like crazy blowout. It's not. Now, it could be. And I think I'm going to do a compliment sandwich instead of just negative, negative, all this stuff. I'll do a positive, a negative, and a positive for each team. I think the positive for the Broncos is we haven't fully seen their offensive synergy yet. Whenever Russ and Cortland and Jeudy and Javonte Williams can all click at once and all of them just get a hold of the Sean Payton offense and they're not getting delay of games, they're not lining up all crazy and running the wrong routes and doing silly things. But whenever that offense does click, they'll be very scary. And who's to say it's not this week versus us? This could be the game where they all put it together and get it rocking, and they you know, do what they're paid to do. And Russ gives you a big game. The receivers give you a big game. Javonte, that's a guy that we were seconds, maybe minutes away from. But hey, whatever. One thing that might work against them, we deal with this every week just trying to record this show, with Ouch being West Coast based and me being in Florida. It's tough to adjust your body to another time zone like this. And I believe they're not going to be on California time. I think, yeah, they're on Central time. So that'll be 2 hours behind, meaning when they kick off at 1 o'clock in that heat, I think it's going to be 90 something. You're going to have some crazy humidity that they're not used to as well. But when you kick off, it's going to be like 11 o'clock in the morning for them. And like, I don't know. I know they're paid athletes and they're super highly trained, but that's just annoying more than anything. Like, bro, we really got to go play this early? Like, goddamn. So their body could be off a little bit, which, you know, could be a big deal, could be no deal at all. The heat is probably going to be a bigger deal. But I just know personally from experience traveling from the West Coast and traveling back and doing all that, it'll bang you up and you'll just feel weird for a second. So maybe if they got over here a day or two early to get themselves used to it, that might help. But either way, one thing, or I guess two things that'll definitely help, they have a couple of defensive pieces over there that are excellent. I was talking about P2 earlier. We all know about Patrick Surtain and then his kinfolk, his child, his offspring, the one in Denver. He is highly regarded right now, and a lot of people just respect his gangsta because he's really like that. He is a true lockdown corner in a world that lacks lockdown corners. He's fantastic. And another guy that's not really as big of a name, but we've seen cause problems, and I just like him as a player, is Baron Browning, dog. That guy is the reason they could trade Chubb away. He wasn't a top 10 pick or anything crazy like that, but some guys are just dogs and dogs got to eat. So they feed him. If our offensive line, AKA if Austin Jackson keeps coming with that nonsense, this is another guy that can sneak a sack in. I don't think he's on Matt Judon's level. Obviously Judon is, you know, elite, elite. Baron might not be on that level, but he is hungry and he will get after it. So I wouldn't rule out a big Baron Browning performance or a Pat Surtain performance, whether their team has got it all together or not. Those are two guys that do have it together. Now for us, a little compliment sandwich, two guys that I would love to see have it together that I believe we're going to get back, Jalen Phillips and Teron Armstead. So I wanted a crazy game out of Jalen Phillips last week. But this is another one where he should have the opportunity to eat. As much as I'm trying to be respectful to this Broncos team, when you compare their offensive line and defensive line to our offensive lines and defensive lines, there is a disparity, is the easiest way I could put it. So I think their offensive line might have a problem if we have Phillips, Chubb, AVG running on all cylinders. And I think their defensive line will have a problem with Teron back, Kendall Lamb, and everything if we're doing what we need to do. But just those two guys are, I don't know, the smoothest way to put it is they are just immediate plug-in impact guys. Teron, we put him in. We don't got to worry about anybody in front of him no mo. Jalen Phillips, we know the pressure is going to be there. This is the year where we're hoping the sacks get there and maybe the forced fumbles get there and the other plays get there. He's always been about a half a second away, but the pressure is still going to be there. And Russ is great. His passer rating under pressure this year is actually 126.3, which is kind of crazy, but he's under pressure a lot. And he's booting a lot and just rolling and tossing it. So him just booting, rolling and tossing it is probably going to be their strat. They might try to run the ball and establish the run. I don't know if that's really going to be a thing against us right now. I'm not speaking too soon, but they're going to try. I think one thing that could work for the Broncos is maybe we have some first home game jitters. We get a little too excited and get a little too worked up. Maybe we miss a couple snaps or just some dumb little mental things, you know, false starts, offsides, because we're so excited to be back at Hard Rock. And the Rock is obviously going to be electric. It's going to be rocking, baby, the easiest way to put it. So I could see us coming out, being a little nervous, coming out, being a little weird in the first half. You know, we haven't even played in weather like that besides practice. And most of our practices are pretty early in the morning where we're not playing at 1 o'clock. So this is something that might beat us up a little bit too. That Chargers game was technically early. Well, no, it was straight. The weather was going to be the same for that one. Maybe a little bit cooler. I don't know. You'd have to ask. Ouch. But with this New England game, that was a little bit cooler out. Nighttime, super chill. So this is technically our first game in the big heat So it's something to watch. We know Tyreek Hill loves to cramp and need fluids every 2 seconds. If he does, with Jalen out, we're down to Brax calling up Chosen, the River Craycraft revenge game. Hey. And obviously, you know, if there's one guy out here rooting for Durham Smythe, it's me. Speaking of Durham Smythe, my last, I guess, positive for the Dolphins would just be our straight up overall talent differential. It sucks, but, you know, some teams just have more dope players than others. And pound for pound, the Broncos are not like a weak team. They're not a lower talent team. But if you just want to line up skill for skill, body for body, line for line, backer for backer, we just got more guys. And that's kind of how it's going to be with a lot of teams this year. We have guys everywhere. It's everyone gets so excited about, oh, well, Tua's only good because of Tyreek Hill and Waddle. Okay, well, no. Let's say you're wrong, hypothetically, and let's say Tua's good. That would mean Tyreek's good, Waddle's good, and Tua's good. That's not talking about Raheem Mostert going off for 100-plus last week on under 20 carries. That's not talking about all of the defensive pieces, our offensive line pieces that are developing. Robert Hunt, professional guard. Like, we're getting it done without Teron. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we have Jalen Ramsey. He hasn't even played yet. So we're just going to out-muscle a few teams. This is probably going to be one of those games that we out-muscle. I think it's going to be hot. I think it's going to be sweaty. I think both teams are going to be uncomfortable with that. But I think at the end of the day, Oos and them boys going to get it done. Ouch has a score prediction of 28-16. I went with 35-28 with that last touchdown coming on a fourth quarter drive. Tua's going to put up quite a few of those. He's a two-minute bandit. We've seen it 1,000 times. So I'm excited. I got a big game tonight. We got some big college football on Saturday. I hope you guys win all your parlays. I hope you guys hit on every bet. I hope you win all your fantasy leagues except if you play me. And beans up. Beans for the win.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.